You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hey, welcome to our podcast. It's Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. And it's time for another draft, Evan. Just before one gets done, another one's coming up. It's the last for a while, and it's the MLB draft. And I'm going to say something right now. If you have the expectations I'm going to get the pick right this time, my chances are very wrong.
What?
I know I've gotten, you know, the Aiden Hutchinson. I talked about him long before anybody else.
Who else did you get right? If you're just not going to pat yourself on the back, I will. Jaden Ivey, you nailed.
Yeah,
we talked Jalen Duren.
Right, if they didn't take Ivey and they ended up with both. And Marco Casper, which was a pick for the Red Wings. This is a little more complicated with the Tigers taking 12th. And it's a lot different draft than what it's been the last couple years. So let's get to the, before we get to the players that are possibly the Tigers will take, talk about their circumstances. First of all, the Tigers, for two reasons. One, they did pretty well last year at the end of the year, those 77 wins, right? And so they're picking 12th in the draft, which is not nearly as high. Secondly, they don't have a compensatory pick like they had before because their revenue wasn't lower. And thirdly, their bonus pool is about half of what it was last year. It's down to a situation where last year they had $14.2 million in a draft pool allotted. This year it's $8 million, just over $8
million. And why does that fluctuate?
Because of revenue that comes in and position of standing.
Okay.
So they don't get the compensatory pick in between rounds. You know, the competitive balance pick is what they call it. They have had that before. And they don't have as much pool money to spend. So it makes it very, very different dynamic to the draft. And there's no obvious, hey, who's going to be there at 12? I mean, it's a very different dynamic with this draft, where it was in the last couple years, we've been talking about top-end guys with the third pick or the first pick or the first pick, especially since we've started this podcast, which, by the way, you can download at Odyssey.com and from Spotify, iTunes Store, and also Google Play Store, wherever you get your podcast, to check it out. We talk about all the drafts. This is just one of them. And, yes, I have been like Nostradamus lately, and I've been bragging up a little bit about it.
And you should. I mean, that's hard to do. Like, if you were a gambling man and you put all those futures in, probably would have made a few dollars.
I probably would have if I was betting on that. But this is more difficult to try to figure out. So the Tigers don't have a third round pick because they gave it up when they signed Eduardo Rodriguez. So basically, within the first 117 picks of the draft, they have two picks, one at 12 and one at 51. And they have half as much money roughly to work with in their slotted bonus.
Which in the past I've learned that's usually spent more so on high school kids.
No, well, you know, you spend it on college kids or whatever. There's a recommended amount, and what you try to do if you want to take somebody later, like a high school kid, and give them a little more with your second pick, what you do is you sign them below the slot value, take somebody, and then try to sign what you project as a first-round pick in the second round. Could be a college kid, too.
Gotcha, okay.
But mostly it's high school kids because they have all the leverage of being able to go to college. So it makes this very complicated in the Tigers' case, because I think what they really need to do is get creative, and they've done this a little bit here in the last couple drafts. You know, last year they got Pacheco because they signed Jackson Jobe a little bit under slot, and that gave them a little more to sign Pacheco away from Texas A&M in the second round. And in the situation that they're in right now, they did it the year before in the sixth round. Our fifth round in a five-round draft with Colt Keith, where they gave him $538,000, which doesn't sound a lot, but it did sign him away from Mississippi State. And it did. You know, he is one of their better prospects, although he's been hurt lately. He's somebody who has a big upside. He's already made it to high A ball and excelled at 20, 21 years old. So they're in a position right now where I think they have to do the same type of thing. So what does that mean at 12? Well, okay, first of all, you got to look at this draft. If these guys fall to them, they take them no matter what. Brooks Lee, Jacob Berry, a corner infielder from LSU with some power. Brooks Lee, a shortstop from Cal. Polly, who's got some tools. There's a catcher who's real good and solid and is probably going to go in the top 5-6 of the draft, Kevin Paradas from Georgia Tech. And then you look down, you see somebody like Drew Jones, the ones we've talked about when we talked about the past, who's Andrew Jones's kid. He possibly could go number one. Jackson Holiday, who is Matt Holiday's kid. They're high school kids who have enormous potential. Jones is kind of the consensus first overall pick. Elijah Green, who's been considered the number one overall pick for like 3 or 4 years, still projects as a top five pick from the IMG. And Tamir Johnson, whose stocks are dropped a little bit, but a lot of people feel he's the best left-handed hitter. So those guys would be, if they're there, the Tigers, it might behoove them to use the most of their slot money to draft one of those guys. They're high side players, particularly the high school prospects. I don't anticipate any of those players being there.
Okay.
So if they drop those guys, they need to look at it. Now, the controversial one to me is when you get to college players that might be there at 12. People say, well, the Tigers need some help now. The stupidest thing the Tigers can do is draft.
For right now?
For need.
Yeah.
Okay? The baseball draft doesn't work that way. It's not like the NFL where the guy plays the next year for you. And then you just slot him in whatever you're doing. You've seen the struggles of Spencer Torkelson right now, to give you an example. And that's a pretty high-end prospect, about as high-end as it gets.
Can I pat you on the back for that one, too? Because you kind of called that one that he was struggling with hitting the fastball, and it's evident.
Yeah, but Riley Green's, moved quickly. And mm-hmm. even though he's having a remotely hit stride, he's done okay since he's come up after an injury. This kid, Jace Jung from Texas Tech, I have a feeling he's going to drop. His brother is a prospect in Texas organization, and this guy's a tremendous hitter, but he's got a real funky batting stance, which kind of freaks you out when you watch him. And he doesn't have a projectable defensive tools, that suggests that he's going to be able to contribute any other way other than he's a pure hitter. I mean, his numbers off the charts, contact rate. Looks like he gets the barrel of the ball despite that funky stance and all that. That's going to be a tough one if he's there. Also, this catcher from Arizona, Daniel Sasek, is somebody that is a very athletic 6'4" catcher who was a high school football standout. You know, that good overall athlete thing. But he swings and misses a lot, and he's a high ceiling, high risk player, even though he's a college player at 12th in the draft. And when I look at some of the other picks that could possibly be there for the Tigers in that spot at number 12, one of them is a high school shortstop, Cole Young, who I think projects out very, very highly. And he's starting to get a lot of buzz. He's had a terrific spring. He's rising on the draft boards. He's a high school kid from Pennsylvania. And there's also, you know, Zach Nito, another high school shortstop, which might be in that possibility for the Tigers at 12. But like I said, when we were talking about the Red Wings draft, pretty much, you know, you could piece together it was going to be Marco Casper.
Right.
And I know there were, you know, it was all over the place on it. I wasn't alone in that, but it was all over the place on it. You could piece that one together. Lions with Hutchinson, if you were there, you could piece that one together. And also you could piece together, I think, pretty well the Jaden Ivey thing. Not so much the Duren thing, but the Jaden Ivey thing. This is much more difficult to piece together that way.
Do they stay away from pitching, you think? I know you said you don't go for now. You don't go, and you're always looking, and pitching is always a premium in Major League Baseball. But with the struggles that they have with their bats and
right,
their fielders – do you see them steering away, at least with the first pick?
Well, it's going to be interesting because the way this draft is set up, there aren't premium arms there.
What about Kumar Rocker? He's back in the draft.
I wouldn't touch Kumar Rocker. I like Kumar Rocker last year, as you know, before the draft. But when all that went sideways and it's a Scott Boros show, I would stay away as far away from that as I could.
Okay.
And and there's no real college guy. There's no Jack Leiter here,
or even a Jackson Jobe, who everybody raved about his slider and the spin rate or whatever it was.
Right. I mean, the best high school prospect is Dylan Lasko, the right-hander who's had Tommy John surgery, and then after that, it's Brock Porter from Orchard Lake St. Mary.
Okay. And you think he's still a first-rounder?
Oh, without question.
Okay.
He's potential top 10 pick, top 15. And the question is about signability. And he's got the option of going to Clemson, where he has committed. So do you sign him, and is it going to cost you a little bit more on slot and then hurt you the rest of the way throughout the draft?
Sure.
When you're trying to sign somebody. It's not only the second round at that 51st pick, but it's also down the road at 117 or something. Somebody that's a real good high school player that fell through the cracks and wants a little extra money or maybe a lot more. Do you define your draft by your first overall pick? Or you define it by the overall strength of a draft. In baseball drafts, very few times do you see a situation where you have things. By the way, I forgot to mention this. Not only did they lose their third-round pick, 79th overall, on the Eduardo Rodriguez signing, but also their compensatory pick that they traded to Tampa in the Austin Meadows deal. So they don't have a pick from 51 to 117. So how much do you put into those two guys? How much do you put in later to the draft? It's more of that trying to piece that puzzle together to put it to people who don't understand baseball drafts or what it used to be like and what it is. It's more in a salary cap type of way. You only have so much money to spend.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And the Tigers have a lot less to spend.
I'm going to ask, and this might be a silly question, but earlier you said it was based on like positioning and how you finished, right?
Yeah.
So like the Dodgers would have more money than Tigers. Wouldn't you, like, if baseball looked to even it up, give the teams that finished less more cash?
Well, no, it's not based on how you finish.
Okay.
Okay, the compensatory picks come in based on how much revenue you have come in. They're called competitive balance picks.
Okay.
All right. So in between the first and second round, the second and third round, you have that. And then picks because you signed a free agent. All right. The Tigers' revenue went up in addition to their record. So it's based on where you finish for where you pick in the draft. But whether you get one of those compensatory picks is based on revenue. So Tampa gets one every year.
Okay, because they don't get
never get one.
Right.
Okay. Tigers rarely have gotten one, but did get compensatory picks in recent years as revenue went down. And now they don't have one, and they traded their 71st pick. You can only trade compensatory picks.
Yes, and that just happened this week with the Braves trading away Drew Waters. I think they got 35th overall, and I had to read that you can trade the compensatory
picks. But you can't trade your regular draft picks. It's part of the oddity of the collective bargaining agreement.
It's something.
So, and what I want to do, Evan, is put this in simple terms so people understand it and it's not super minutia-wise. This is the bottom line. In the past, they've had, like, they took Dylan Dingler 39th overall because they had a compensatory pick. You know, they had second-round pick. Now they've just got a first-round pick and a second-round pick, and then they moved to the fourth round. No compensatory picks, gave up their third-round pick, and gave up a compensatory pick. So the fact that they won 77 games last year, made a little more money, it took them into a position in the draft that's far less favorable than what it was.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay, that's what you need to know about it. And they have far less money to spend in the slotted area for bonuses for the picks that they're taking. Only $4 million or so. So, to give you an idea, Spencer Torkelson signed for almost, I have to look how much it exactly was, but signed for more than that or close to it as the first overall pick. So, when you're dealing with that, I think it was over six. So, when you're dealing with that, you've got to, you can balance it on what you do with the second pick or later in the draft. And you've got to decide if there's a prospect worth, you know, shooting your whole, you know, the amount on that first guy at 12, or whether it's better to split it up between 12 and 51. And then, you know, looking at the rest of your draft. And undrafted free agents, you can only bonus can be no higher than 20,000. So even though it's a 20-round draft where it used to be into an Xfinity, how many picks you wanted, you can't sign somebody that you don't draft for more than 20,000. So, but the simplistic term is they have half as much money, not nearly as good a picks, and how are they going to deal with it? And, you know, drafting for need would be, you know, incredibly stupid, but it's not a pitcher's draft. There's no college pitcher that everybody wants.
Right.
None. There's a few guys that are interesting, but no, somebody you might take in the second round.
Sure.
But nobody that you would take at 12. If you're going to take somebody at 12, it would be Brock Porter. All right?
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he would be the one guy that I could see somebody doing. There's a couple other guys that have emerged. It could be Dylan Lesko, but can you imagine if the Tigers took, you know, the top-end pitcher, but he's had Tommy John surgery, everything with Mize and all the Tommy John surgeries.
Well, and all the injured pitchers they have right now. And Torkelson got 8.4 million in a signing bonus, and it was $1,000 above the slot value.
And the Tigers right now?
That's all they have, right?
That's all they have.
Now, let me ask you this, because it is based on, like, their trades not having those picks. Knowing what you know now with the signing of Eduardo Rodriguez and him MIA, essentially.
Right.
And Austin Meadows with the injuries he's had. Are they still worth making those moves?
Yeah, you know, 71st overall, I looked at it. You never know. There's always a wild card number there. But no player. The best player at 71st overall in anybody's recent memory was a pitcher, Masterson. He used to be a reliever with Cleveland.
Yep.
And the third best player in the last 25 years, to give you an idea, is Nico Goodrum, who was taken 71st overall.
Yes.
So, you know, it hasn't been a slot that's been productive.
So it's still worth the risk for what they did.
Yeah, it was. Okay. But, you know, the way things are going with the Tigers, I mean, there wasn't much risk that Isaac Paredes would become a power hitter, and then he hits like 13 home runs while they never hit home runs.
Right.
And I don't know how many he's got now, but, you know.
I think it's still 13, to be honest.
Yeah, I think he's been a little banged up. So, in that circumstance, and plus the podcast people be listening to it at different days.
But, yeah.
But to give you an idea, 71st has not traditionally, or those rounds, been good. But you know, obviously you've had great players come out of second, third round.
Sure.
In the past, all the way up fifth, sixth, all down. But if you look at the numbers, it's not a particularly productive number traditionally. And there's minimal risk. Everything's about, in analytics, about risk, how much you can do. In that spot.
Is there anything that if you were Al Avila going into this that you would stay away from other than the obvious, I guess?
I would stay away from high school pitchers. Porter's pretty good. All right, but he to me is not somebody that I would give my full signing bonus allotment to. And he's really good. In any year, he'd be drafted in the first round to get a lot of hype. So don't take this wrong. He's terrific. But in a lot of years, he'd be the third or fourth pitcher, you know, if there was a college guy that was or two that were really good, especially.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't draft Lesko, you know, with a Tommy John surgery. And I would stay away from a low tool, high-end bat in college, somebody like, you were talking about Young, Jung, because he, you know, it's about tools, man. If somebody can't hit, you know, you're seeing it with Spencer Torkelson. You know, he has pretty good foot speed, and, you know, some people are praising his defense, which has been vastly overrated, by the way, if you actually research it. But he's a major league athlete without question. But what good is it if he can't hit?
Exactly, especially when that's supposed to be your biggest tool.
And it's a lot different hitting, you know, Big 12. Big 12 is a good conference, so is the Pac 12. But it's big difference hitting in those conferences and then hitting in professional baseball. And college bats scare me sometimes, you know, just the hit tool. I know Andrew Vaughn has done pretty well here lately and some others, but for the most part, big-time college hitters, a lot of times, they end up kind of fading, like Braun with Philadelphia and some mm-hmm. others. There have been some that have hit big. But it's just a matter of projecting that tool is very difficult. When you're talking about what they're doing. And one of the things that I like about this kid from Arizona is that he hit well with the wood bat in the Cape Cod League. There's been a couple guys that have done that. So I would look at that a little bit more. And as far as, like, what I would look for in the second round here is, there's a couple guys that I would look at that they may take. There's a high school third baseman, say that he's a pretty good hitter. His name's Tucker Tolman.
Cool name.
Tucker Tolman, yeah. He has some hitting potential. There's a mixed bag on him. Jacob Miller, a high school right-hander, but he's shorter, but throws hard and has excellent stuff. He's from Ohio. Jackson Ferris, who's at IMG, so everybody's seen him 1,000 times.
God.
Those could be picks in the later rounds. And locally, I like Clark Elliott from Michigan. I do think he's a guy that I meant him, not the kid from Arizona. Clark Elliott went to the Cape Cod League and put up really good numbers with a wood bat. He's been very consistent for Michigan. I don't know if I would take him in the second round or where I would, but that's somebody I would look at locally. I'm not expecting like Ike Irish and Schubert and Dresselhoff and these other kids from Orchard Lake to sign Creighton. I'm expecting them to go to college. I'm expecting only Porter to be the one that's going to get drafted.
Are there any
and sign?
Are there any indications, I guess, whether it's from his family, his agent, or anything, that would to a team like the team you would think essentially knows if they're going to sign or not before they draft them, right? So you don't get in a sticky situation, kind of like the
that's absolutely
Umar Rocker.
What's happening.
Okay. And so it's all the feeling out process right now.
Well, they'll know before, you know, the draft, whether any of those guys are interested in signing for what they are.
Sure.
A lot of times they'll put on because they want to go to these colleges. You know, why wouldn't you want to go play for Oklahoma State?
Or, I agree.
Or and, go play for Michigan State.
But
or,
do you think
– or Auburn, like, you know, Irish is signed for.
Well, like we saw in college basketball, somebody like Hunter Dickinson that probably could have gone to the draft. I don't know where he would have gone, but he came back because of NIL. Do you think NIL will hurt major league teams getting
could.
These high school kids?
Because, it could. Because not up here.
No, okay.
But down south, they're big stadiums. College baseball games are a big deal. They don't have pro teams. So
right.
Baton Rouge, Auburn, Alabama, University of Alabama, where a lot of these kids have actually signed with, the best prospect out of the state for next year, in my opinion, is Picott from the quarterback from Rochester Adams.
Really?
Yeah, and he's well.
I gotta go see this kid.
Well, he took them to the state championship game last year. Beat West Bloomfield.
Yeah,
incredible athlete. And he signed with Alabama to play baseball. You know, they don't have sports down there that are, you know, like where you would get endorsements for the professional athletes.
Right.
And everything's
okay.
About colleges. And one thing I've really, really enjoyed about the expanded covers that they have on ESPN, I don't mean to, you know, promote the four-letter network, but I appreciate the streaming that they have. Is, you know, SEC, ACC.
Oh, yeah, you can see all the games on there.
And it's big time, especially in those two conferences with the amount of people that are actually at the game, especially in the SEC.
Okay.
So there's a possibility that NIL will come into play there. And it does hurt, you know, with baseball, you know, having like third or fourth round and then signing some kid for, you know, hey, we were going to offer you $300,000, which is a lot of money and for a lot of kids. Yeah, but the possibility of being able to make some of that back with NIL get your education, play, you know, not in the middle of Lakeland in the middle of summer,
yeah.
you know, but in, you know, these big time environments.
Go live life. Yeah.
Go up to Cape Cod and, you know, pretend you're dating Jessica Biel like in the movie, Freddie Prinze Jr., you know, those type of things. And the other thing, too, is, and this is an issue in baseball, a lot of these kids, like these top-end players that are playing at Orchard Lake St. Mary's, they've been in travel ball. They come from families that aren't poor.
Right.
And baseball's got a bit of an issue with that because, you know, you got a choice here. And there's not as many kids that have to sign for that money to take care of their family as you would think in other sports. It's one of the concerns I have about the game, that it's becoming somewhat elitist. Oh, you got to have a coach.
It kind of is. I mean, my buddy has a 12-year-old.
Right.
And the amount of baseball that they do with private gyms, hitting indoors, like even those indoor facilities weren't around when I was a kid.
Absolutely.
Even in early 2000s. But now it seems like every city you go to, they have these unbelievable facilities, indoor fields, the AstroTurf, indoor mounds, like crazy stuff. You know, when we're kids pitching, the only mounds that you really had were on the fields, and most likely we couldn't get onto those fields. And now it's like everywhere you train, and I don't know if it's good or bad for kids' arms to be throwing all these different pitches at that early of an age, but you're right, it's wild. It's almost like hockey. I have one friend that asks me all the time to help donate to send his kid to Tennessee or Kentucky or wherever it might be. You're right about that, though, Pat.
Well, it's not only that circumstance. It is like hockey. It is like golf.
Yeah.
It has become that. Where a long time ago, like when I played, I'm older than you by quite a bit, we played Little League, Pony League, Colt League, and then the first time we ever were on a travel team is if you were good enough to play on the American Legion team.
Right. Now it seems like Little League.
That was big travels to like Waterford.
Little League is like kind of scoffed at now by a lot of these parents.
That's right, it is. And those other leagues really don't exist.
Yeah, it's AU, it's travel ball.
It's all about showcase tournaments once they get up to a certain place. Now, I did want to mention one player, too. Because we have Hunter Brown, who's one of the top prospects from Wayne State, who was drafted in the fifth round from Lakeview High School.
Nice.
There you go. Hey. And he's one of the Astros' top prospects. He throws really hard. So sometimes we forget about the other schools in this state. But this kid, Andrew Taylor, from Central Michigan, misses a lot of bats. A lot of bats. He's a right-handed pitcher with one of those fresh arms from upstate Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
He's somebody that's going to go early and does have a chance. You know, they had Cole Meter a few years ago, if you remember. They've had some kids come out of the MAC, and that's a kid you got to watch for. And that would be somebody that, you know, in the state that I think is going to have some potential and have some impact in this, you know, down the road. Because for whatever reason, must be a high spin rate, and I don't know what his spin rate is, to be honest with you. I have to double check on that because I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But I've seen him throw, and I've seen him miss bats, and they don't have a clue what's coming with the fastball. You know, they swing right through it. I like him a lot as a prospect. I genuinely do. And I do like Clark Elliott from Michigan as a prospect as well.
Well, and you know what? That's what's great about this podcast, Pat, because I'll be honest, I didn't hear of that kid before, and I scour the internet all day. So it's great to get the information from you. And I'm excited for another draft, right?
Right.
It's funny how they all come at once, right? MLB, right. NBA, and NHL. It's all summertime activity.
So I appreciate you listening. Hey, you got some feedback, don't hesitate to send me a direct message on Twitter or Evan to get a hold of me, or my email, which is pat.caputo@odyssey.com.
If it changes to Pete, we'll let people know.
Yeah, we'll let people know. And, you know, check out that stuff. Facebook.
Twitter, at PatCaputo98.
Right. And Evan's got the King of the KFC. He puts that up there as well.
Yeah, the ticket Facebook, Twitter. If you like something, don't like something, we're open to everything.
Yeah, so I know there's nuanced, and people, you know, and I'm not trying to tell you everything you need to know or whatever, but there are certain things, you know. So I'm trying to explain it as well as I can.
Well, you did. I mean, you answered my questions about the draft money and all that stuff, and that's what's really, really important, because the average Joe that's sitting on his couch and flicks it on is like, well, I don't get that. But That's why you listen to Bustin' Balls.
And Bustin' Balls is expanding. We're going to do all kinds of things. Oh. I think we might even get cameras in here and do it. And we're going to be going with the national part of these drafts and prospects, you know, coming up here. So, you know, check us out. Like us. Heck, I think we're going to be on YouTube at some point or whatever. And we're on Spotify. We're on the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, and, of course, Odyssey.com. Download us, like us, all those things. And, you know, I appreciate any kind of feedback that you have or questions, because I know the regular shows that I host at 97.1 The Ticket, I really don't have time or, you know, I mean, it's a minutia type of thing in some cases to explain it in detail. And people ask me questions quite a bit about these things, and that's what we're here for. And we'll be going over, you know, when the drafts are over, prospects, the NFL draft. We're really going to get into the 2023 draft. That's all coming up. We'll look at the Red Wings, Tigers, Pistons, all those things. Pistons have got their summer league going. So we'll look at all the different ways that teams are developing in the future of these teams. Again, it's about drafts, prospects, and the future. And I appreciate you joining us.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.